is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
The topic of this presentation is preserving your harvest. Master Food Preservers Sandra Walker and Betty Asha gave this presentation at the Master Gardener Demonstration Garden located on 251 South Beretta Street in Sonora. Enjoy.
I brought all the different kinds of equipment. You know that there is a difference between water bath canning, which is done in this kind of pot. I like to use this pot because I'm a party of one, and I don't need to be canning 7 or 12 quarts of something, and I can just use this little pot, cheap old thing that I got somewhere, and maybe I can do five jars. And
Did you buy it with the insert?
No. Hey, the other thing is I don't buy anything new. Everything I have here is secondhand, except the lids. Remember, never reuse a lid that you've always used. And if you have bands...
It's only a one-time use. Yeah.
If you have bands...
Betty, are you talking about the jars that you're preserving in? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the lids.
The lids? Okay, for the jars.
Because many people will give me jars that they've already used, and they'll include the lid thinking that I'm going to reuse the lid. The recommendation is not to reuse the lid unless you're dehydrating, which is why I don't recommend that you can herbs. The recommendation is you dehydrate them. That's why I brought the dehydrator. And then if you're dehydrating your herbs and you're putting it in a jar, then you could use your used lid just to have a cover, you know what I'm saying, on something that's dehydrated. I don't know whether we should go into everything. Do you have any particular questions? Yes.
Where'd you get the rack and the...
Oh, well, I started to tell you. Okay, I don't buy anything new unless I have to. And this was in a secondhand store. This is not made anymore. I started canning in the 70s. I'm pretty old. And this is how they made the canning racks back then. And as you can see, I think I can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I can't use
the big quart jars. It has to be the small ones. And this is the newer rack.
Yeah, you always get a rack with a floating water bath.
Now this is a used pot. The only reason why I can't use this pot at home on my stove, I haven't got the luxury of a gas stove. I have one of those ugly electric stoves, all flat. If I tried to use this pot on my flat, ugly stove, the water would never come to a full boiling point. So I have a little hot plate, I guess, not a hot plate, a little burner that I plug in the wall. And then if I, like this morning at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was doing peaches, and I can hold, this can hold 7 quarts, you know, very well. So I did it on my little electric burner. Yes.
I have a Maytag Gemini electric stove. By a specialized burner, and it raises up.
Really?
Say that again, because I couldn't hear exactly what you said.
I have a Maytag Gemini.
A Maytag.
2001. I bought extra. This burner that slips right in, but it's about that high up. Have air circulation, so it doesn't hurt your stove.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about my electric stove. The burners don't always burn evenly. You have one that's burning every now and again to save, I guess, on electricity. Then you have the one up here that's burning all the time. I mean, you know, for me, it's ridiculous. Okay? It's
ridiculous. How many of you have gas stoves? Okay. Well, what Betty's doing and what we do when we do a demo is we use just a one burner. And those work great. So.
A gas burner?
Oh, no, it's butane.
It's butane.
Nice.
Yes.
So. Propane, probably.
But what I wanted her to explain about, so you're familiar with this kind of stuff, right? The putting it in a water bath. But what do you think this, do these look kind of big to you?
They're gigantic.
Okay. Do you think we're wasting a lot of water while we're using these things?
No.
Yeah, we are.
Well, we
because
can use
this, you can now use this. She's going to tell you about
a drought canner, we call it.
It's a drought canner.
Cool that water and water your
house
plants.
Oh, yeah, I do. Or my garden.
Oh, yes, we
garden.
Absolutely want
to I do.
Recycle the water.
And it's not wasted water.
But this is so much better.
I didn't know that was.
That's called a steam canner.
It's finally approved.
It is approved now, yes.
Approved.
So you can see it's much more shallow. The water comes up. You know, above this rack here, and what it'll hold about 7.
40. You can't use
jars?
A recipe this
yeah.
The amount of no, it's not going to hold that many jars. You have to look at the sections here. It's going to hold 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I think it's
maybe
about 6.
Maybe one in the middle. I don't know.
Maybe 6. Yeah, pints.
I don't know.
The thing that with this is that if the recipe calls for processing for 45 minutes or longer than that, then you cannot use the steam canner. But I really haven't run into that many situations where you'd process for 45 minutes. So this works great. The thing with this is a basic one. Can everybody see a hole here on the side?
Mm-hmm.
So they do have them now with a dial on the top, and there's three colors, and you just need to
replace a pressure canner though.
No, why would we talk about the pressure canner here?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. So this would just be for fruits, for pickles, jams and jellies, that type of thing.
So how much water do you put in it?
So
like she said, just up like just up to here maybe.
On the top of the rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can see it's gonna be a lot less water. That's why we call it the drought canner. Then having the water way up over, you have to have the water in a boiling water bath that needs to be at least an inch or more to 2 inches above the top of the jar, so to make it safe. So the back to the lid here, it has a little hole, and so as it starts to steam in there and boil, the steam will start coming out the hole, and when you can see a steady stream, then that's when you start the counting, the time, if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But they do have ones now that we just didn't bring it today, have a gauge, and you can still see the steam coming out, but it's regulated with a dial. So it makes it a little bit easier.
A couple of tricky things about, anything that you're canning, even in the pressure canner, is you have to consider your elevation, okay? So if I'm canning over in...
Yeah, so...
If canning at the beach versus
if I'm canning
here.
At the beach,
yes,
in the Bay
exactly.
Area, which I could do when I'm camping. Why couldn't I, okay? But the elevation down there is...
Sea level.
Yeah, so I don't need to be concerned about having to cook a recipe longer. But as you go up in elevation, because some of you, I think, might be at 4,000 feet elevation.
So who has a smartphone right now can go and
you can
find
put an
out,
app on
like
your
just
phone.
For either for where you live or for right here.
This is 1,800.
This is 18.
Yep.
Okay.
There's
so
a little chart on the handout.
Again, on this tomatoes always, there's great information here. It gives a little chart. So for example, if we were doing crushed tomatoes with no added liquid, it says. So the range is from 0 to 1,000 and then 1,000 to 3,000. So for pints, it tells you whether you're canning pints or quarts.
50.
For pints, it would be 45 minutes. No, sorry, 40 minutes at 1,800 feet right here. Is that what you're saying, Marion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's what
you said. Quartz, 50 minutes. So you would need to use the boiling water canner. Why? Because the steamer canner...
If you run out of water, you just have to start all over again, you know?
Yeah.
So what I do to correct that is I have a quart water boily thing.
Oh, and you add to it?
And just add boiling water secretly.
But that means you have to lift the lid.
But you let the
now
steam
you
out.
You could put it in through your new spouts on the top.
Oh, well...
The spout on the top?
I
that little adjustable thing that lets the steam out. Just dribble it in.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not familiar with that
one.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Elevation.
Because the ones that we have seen that have a little raised area here is to let you know about elevation, isn't it?
Right.
Or what is that? Or the amount of time?
It tells you when it's okay.
To start
the timing.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Good.
So I'm not familiar with the spout, but I suppose if you have a spout.
The trade-off is you run out of water.
Yes, you
then
do.
Then there's no steam anyway. You can just open it up and pour hot water in.
Yeah, I can't say yes or no. We've not been told that we can do that. But if it's working for you.
So the test would be to put the 2 quarts of water in that. It looks like it holds. And see how long it takes to boil away.
Well, we've been told 45 minutes.
I've never had it, boil out. So.
And I've not used this. Because I'm old-fashioned and I don't want to buy one because they're expensive.
They're not at the thrift store yet.
And they're not at the thrift store yet, so why should I buy one? I mean, I'll wait, Somebody will get rid of their canner or steamer and then I'll get it, but I don't want to pay the price right now. Although, Jackson has a wonderful canning store. You know about that, the kitchen store in Jackson.
Biggest little...
So we wanted you to know
kitchen
that.
Store
I
in the world
particularly
or something.
Wanted her to bring that because... It's just kind of new, and it might save you on water, time, lots of things. Okay? So what kinds of vegetables are you going to can in this small pot, this one, or this one? Trick question. What kind of vegetables or fruits are you going to can in these three pots?
They have to have high in acid. Is that
right?
It has
to do with the pH.
Good.
That was very good. So, certain vegetables, is it high or low?
High.
High, thank you. For the pH, like corn, green beans, peas.
Oh, that would be low acid. Right?
That would, yeah. Those are the ones that you cannot can in just plain old water bath canning. Why?
Botulism.
Low.
She's absolutely right. Okay. So if, for whatever reason, these vegetables that I've mentioned, cabbage, what else would it be? Potatoes, rhubarb. I've canned rhubarb
Green
in my
beans.
Pressure canner. All those ones that you could think of that are nice, bright green, and you just love to chew on them. They're kind of munchy, chewable. Carrots is another one. So they all have to be done in pressure, okay? So,
or meat,
fish,
broth, or stock, fish.
Oh,
exactly.
I was going to bring a jar of my turkey stock. You know how at Thanksgiving nobody wants the carcass. I take it home, boil it down, and then I just strain it, and then I pressure can it. I put it in quart jars, and I pressure can it in my pressure canner, and I've got quarts of stock at home. You could do the same with your vegetables.
Pressure canners are great for making stock, too.
Yes.
Much faster.
Well, note that there's a difference between a pressure cooker and a pressure canner.
Yes. Which is? Well, the pressure cooker will not go up to the pressure that you need in a pressure canner to make sure that you are safely canning something so that you won't get botulism.
So you can't use a pressure cooker to can, but
correct.
You can use a pressure canner to cook.
Yes.
You could. Yes.
You know, if I just had this size pot, I would just cook in here.
The difference in that, yes.
Yeah, I would just cook in here. Yeah. Because I'll use this, like, what did I do this morning? I had all my peaches in one of these big pots.
And let me tell you, if you're making stock from a carcass or something, you can cut it down from, like, 15 hours to...
So was that
it's great. No.
Yeah. You could,
really
use...
Does. It's fast. Yeah.
Okay. So, what else did I want to tell you?
Just don't fill it so much that you get the stuff in the in the gauge.
This is another drought kind of an instrument, drought thing, because you only put a small amount of water in the bottom.
And there's a rack in there.
And you always have a rack. And you put maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches. Okay. And you never, never open up your pot when it's up to pressure. Because what will happen?
You're going to get hurt.
Well, you get hurt. You have this big explosion in your kitchen or your basement or your porch or wherever you're doing it. Okay. So anything, I like the pressure pan. I enjoy it. Okay. I mean, I've done all these things myself. This is a pressure canned item. No, not my peaches. I just did those this morning. This is pumpkin. Has to be pressure canned. And it can't be nice. A mush. It has to be in cubes like this, because they maintain that if it's a mush, that leads to botulism. Okay. This is some soup, some bean soup that I made. Because I like to keep things on my shelf. You know, I'm off to work, I need to bring something for lunch, just bring a jar or something. Okay?
That's pressure canning.
These are pressure canning. Okay. The rest of this is all with water.
You got a jam and a
I have a jam. This is peach jam, which you would do in your water canner. The pickles. Now, here's an interesting, not this one, this is the refrigerated one. How about this one? Do you think that has to be under pressure?
What is it?
Cucumbers or what?
Dill. Dill.
Dill pickles?
I think
with
the
vinegar
pickles.
And
I'm not
stuff?
Real sure. I think it's pickles.
So it has a low pH.
Mm-hmm.
With the vinegar in it.
Do you think the vinegar is helping to bring down the pH so that I can can it in a water canner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can take any of those vegetables that maybe you just want a jar of green beans or a jar of corn or something. You can do that, but it has to go in your pressure canner. But if you pickle anything or make it into a relish, then you can put it in the water canner. And the reason why I brought the dehydrator is you can dehydrate anything.
What's this one here?
Dehydrating is so much fun. It really is. If you have extra tomatoes, and you're tired, you know, and you just don't want to put the water in the pot and cut them and all the rest of it. I just slice them and put them in there and dehydrate them. Then you have a crispy tomato that you can use. You can just kind of flake it, and you can use it in your sauces or whatever. You can dehydrate anything. And I recommend that your herbs be all dehydrated. I think I already said that.
Oh, and I have an example.
Oh, yeah.
Might look a little odd, but... They work great. All you need is a paper bag. This is the really good, like you said, for herbs. You probably might have done it already. You just take a few. I've got some Thai basil here. You can leave it on the stem if you want, or you could take the leaves off and then just hang it. I always tie it with a rubber band. Made a few slits here. And so it's a solar dry
and how long
dehydrator. It depends on how big the leaves are. I did this parsley here a few weeks ago. It took, I don't know,
so
4 or 5 days.
Yeah. The reason why you would use a dehydrator is because you can get a temperature.
Yeah, it's more regulated.
It's more regulated.
Exactly.
It's an Excalibur. It's very expensive, but it's a refurbished one. And yeah,
that's the Cadillac of dehydrators.
Forget it. If I'm going to have something, I'm going to wait till it's going on sale, or I found it somewhere.
Excalibur.
And this was
refurbished.
So oh, okay.
The pressure canner can be electric or sit on the stove.
Oh, you want to talk about the Instapot. Are you talking about the Instapot?
I don't know about that one.
I don't know about
okay, well, let me tell you about the Instapot.
Oh, I know. It's something new. Okay. The last few years has come out.
Okay, what do you mean electric then?
Well, can you just plug that pressure canner
No.
in?
No.
Okay.
This has to be on top of the stove. Okay. You put 2 inches or 1.5 inches of water. You turn up your flame. And then as you turn the flame, it's a big process. You have to let steam come out for a certain amount of time. See, you put this on here. Now, this is an older one. This is called a Presto. You can get a Presto, American Canner. What's the others?
Fagor.
Do you know why I got this? Because it was brand new and it was $40 at the secondhand store. It was still in the box, okay? So that's why I have a Presto, okay? That's the only reason why I have it, okay? And I lock it here. Once I lock it in place, then I have, as it's cooking, this is going to rise and steam is going to come out. When you get about 10 minutes of steady steam, then you add your dial. That's for the Presto. The American Canner will
have... I have one like this.
Some of them have dials that, like, this one I use for everything. But some of the canners will say, use this dial for 10 pounds of pressure, or use this one for 15, whatever. Okay. But this is my cheapo Presto, okay?
Well,
so
it's got a gauge on it.
And has a gauge. So once it starts steaming away, and this is rocking by this time, then I watch the dial.
And it'll start building pressure.
And it starts building pressure. And usually most of the things that I'm canning, because I'm at 1,200 feet in Jamestown, only requires 10 or 12 pounds of pressure. But I have to watch it. And that's my big problem, because I start all my things at night. So I'm in the kitchen, sitting, watching the dial, falling asleep, and then all, you know, and then it might drop a little bit, then I have to go back and redoing the time. You understand what I'm saying? It has to be a constant.
It's pretty much a babysitting kind of thing.
Yeah.
You need to be with your canner, paying attention to what's going on.
But the Instapot, I think you were talking, all the pressure canners I'm talking about would be on the stove.
Okay.
Or on a big propane outdoor, what would you call it? Not a barbecue.
Cooker
or something, which I would love to have. Think of all the steam that I would save in my kitchen if I had it out on my deck. I mean, it'd be perfect, you know. But anyhow, I don't have one of those because they're expensive. I've already priced them. And I'm not going to buy one unless I run across one, okay? So, the Instapot is all electric.
Yeah, that would be
it's
plugged in.
It's just a cooker, it's not a cooker.
Right, and
that's
the reason why
point.
They don't
good
recommend
point.
It for pressure canning is because there's been no studies done to know that it gets up to the right level of pressure to prevent the bacteria.
Mm.
But the Instapots are very popular right now. I don't know what to say. I don't know. They cook fast. I don't know the cost of them.
You could. I got one for $72.
Is that a good price? I don't know what they
cost.
Yes, because a lot of them are around 100.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, Mike, for those of you that might be in small spaces, like I'm in a trailer, an Instapot might work out well for me. Because I wouldn't have to have a pot over here for rice and, you know, and we can have it all in one little deal. But I haven't invested in one, just like I haven't invested in one of those.
They're big because
they're at least as big as that, but they're small.
But people
inside.
Really, really believe in them and really enjoy them.
You can get smaller ones too.
Can you?
For singles, I have a small one that's just, you know.
To clarify about the smaller pressure cooker, that's not a pressure canner. But it's a pressure cooker, so it would be half this size, usually, like down to here.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wonderful, I feel. I've used those, but those are good for, like, a meal. Like, you want to serve a roast, I don't know, and it only takes you an hour or something. You know, that's, it's just speeding up the process, but it's not giving you the pressure that you need when you're canning something.
Just what an Instapot does.
Yeah, and that's what an Instapot does, too.
That's exactly
what it is. I can't think of anything else, too, unless Sandra has something. Oh, except that I wanted to, because you got some free peaches from Fran there. I did get up this morning at 1 o'clock, and because I went over to her house and picked peaches.
You had peaches, Nancy?
Yes, or great. Nancy. I'm sorry. And
lots of
so
peaches.
I got up this morning and did these peaches. I was going to demonstrate, take you through the whole process with the peaches, because we're all getting our fruit right now, right? So, first of all, don't let the peach sit a long time in buckets in your kitchen like I did, okay? Use them as quickly as you can. And in order to get the skin off the peach, you have to put it in cold water with ice in it, and then you still have to peel it, but it peels pretty easily. And then you have to cut them up, which I did, but I was tired, so I didn't cut them, you know, real pretty. And then you have to put ascorbic acid, because that'll maintain the color.
Did we bring a sample?
No, we don't.
No, okay. I didn't have any at home.
And speaking of which, those are canning peaches, if anyone wants them.
Yeah.
Really?
And
are they
so
freeze?
They're
free stones?
No.
But it's not red at the pit.
They
are pretty hard feeling, but they're ripe. The result of that is when you can them, they don't turn to absolute mush.
Yeah, the freeze stone is more for eating.
And they didn't.
We want a hard peach, a cling.
I got 5 quarts of peaches. What am I going to do with them? I have no idea. But I have 5 quarts of peaches.
You can make cobblers. Oh, all sorts of good stuff.
I have
a
grandson who likes
you can
peaches.
Make what?
I have a lot of peaches this year.
I always bring him a jar of peaches.
I mean, you can eat them fresh, but they're never going
to
get soft.
I was telling
like
you,
a,
so then...
Right.
You've got
unless
to have a big pot going, and not a big pot, but a big bowl, depending on the number or the pounds of peaches that you have, or any fruit. Each time you peel something, you immerse it in the cold water with the ice. Okay. I'm sorry. You put it in the cold water and ice before you go to peel it. Then you take it out and peel it. But then you have to like put this color saver thing so it won't turn brown.
The ascorbic acid,
thank you so much.
They call it, you buy it fruit fresh, you can buy it where you buy the lids and the rings
and
the jars.
And then I just took them, I boiled my jars, okay? I forget which pot I did that in. I can't remember. It was, you know, by this time it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, so I don't remember which pot I used. And then, I just put the peaches, you know, using this. This is my funnel. I put the peaches in there. And in the meantime, I had a syrup going, probably in this pot because it's smaller. The syrup, for a light syrup, was 2.5 cups of sugar to 5.5 cups or something like that of water. Okay? And apparently she ran across a recipe that... You know, you sugar, didn't you run across something? Maybe you didn't.
Wasn't there
in the handout?
Didn't we hand that out?
And then I just the recipe that I brought said that it had to cook for 30 minutes because it's a quart jar, and that's what I did. I used this canner to do them in because they don't have to be under pressure, right?
No.
Why don't they have to be under pressure?
We don't want to be
giving people disease things, but still, we're a little, we're not so concerned about this. Go ahead.
I put my peaches in boiling water.
Yes.
And that makes the skin slip off.
I did that too. But these skins did not come off real well.
Because it's a canning peach and they're harder, they don't come off as easy.
But they did come off so much easier than if I just took the peach and didn't put it in boiling water. And
always
this lovely, pardon me?
That's it. Thank you, Marianne.
Always follow
when
a recipe.
When in doubt, always follow
I'm
a
so
recipe.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yay.
And use a reputable recipe thing. So, coming out. I hope we answered
good
your
luck.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912.